Well, welcome. I've actually got a couple of things that I wanted to say before I preach. Really church business in a way. The last time that we had an ordinary service, December the 13th, we had two separate Bible readings given us, one from Revelation 3 and one from part of Ephesians 4 and part of Ephesians 5. And I just want to say to people, we do take words seriously. If you don't hear anything, don't think that we are not interested and we're not taking it on board. Because as leaders, we do take it seriously and we prayed over it and discussed it. And we will be taking some action. But just to say that we do want to hear from God through you. And it is a great responsibility being leaders. And when we were thinking about, you know, the year ahead as a church, I felt the huge responsibility of being a leader. And we do want to get things right. And we do need your prayers. So one thing I would encourage you to do this year is to pray for your leaders. One of the things that we are thinking about doing is introducing encouragement groups. Now, the main purpose of them is that we'll grow in our Christian lives. That's what we want to do. And it seems to me that God's sort of given three main ways that, you know, he helps to grow us. And that's through prayer and through Bible study. That's the first main two. And then through each other. And so the idea is that we would get into groups of about three to listen to each other mainly and to see what God is doing in our lives and then just to pray that through. I've brought a list along, it's over there, which I'll put out afterwards, with the adults' names of the people in the congregation that you can tick either you're interested or you're not sure or you're not interested at the moment in being part of an encouragement group. We're not sure how that's going to work. It won't be a case of you and you have got to be together, because that's not the way we work. What we want is for people to be together that feel happy to share. So it will be people putting names down and us praying about it and suggesting to individuals, maybe would this work or would that work? So it's a matter of negotiating. We don't want to be. It'll be to suit the people in the group. So if there's three people, they might decide to have it in one person's home or other. And yeah, but it's not really like a house group in that it's going to be to the convenience of the people in the group. Do you see what I mean? So it will be for them to decide when's convenient for them. We just want to grow people. That's basically it. We want to help each other to grow. And often it's by meeting in smaller groups. So I should put that list out later. And somewhere there. So that's just two things that I wanted to mention.
Where will it be,
Dad? I'll put it on the table.
Right.
But I'll nag people throughout. You know. You haven't said, do you want to or don't you want to? So we've got an idea of how people will feel comfortable. You know, because it's not for our benefit. It's for all our benefits. You see what I mean? We don't want it to be a meeting for the sake of a meeting. We want it to be a meeting to actually enable us to grow. The text I'm going to, it's just one verse, it doesn't matter, I can read it. It's Luke 15 and verse 20, and it's just a bit out of the parable of the prodigal son, which I always think is a little bit misnamed. It should be the parable of the loving father, don't you think? And it's just the verse, but while he was still a long way off, that's the son that had gone his own way, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. So I'd like just to pray now that, Father, that you will speak through this to us about what kind of a father you are. Amen. Actually, when Viv was saying about the new year, I was still thinking more about Christmas. I started Christmas November the 30th this year with a visit of our son. So I've had a nice long Christmas. And I was thinking about what my favourite present was. Now, I don't know if any of you have had favourite presents. What was your best present?
A pet.
A pet? Yeah. What pet was that?
Well, I got two millipedes, two giant millipedes.
And a whip scorpion.
And a whip
scorpion. So that's his favourite present. What was your favourite present, Michael?
I got a dongle.
What's a dongle?
Oh,
right. Oh, right. Anybody else got a favourite present that they've had this year? Linda? Yeah, photo of two grandchildren. Yeah, Dan?
Yeah,
Aiden
got an etch-a-sketch and can't put it down.
And you can't put it down, right. Yeah. There's some presents that just are right, aren't they? And they just cheer you. Now, I think my favourite present is this. Do you like it? I love it, actually. And Sarah bought it for me. And she said, I thought you'd like it, Mum. And I looked at it, I thought, I do like it. I like it very much indeed. But I wasn't sure what to do with it. So I put some blue tack and I stuck it on the door to our lounge. And then I was thinking, what shall I do with it? And do you know what came into my mind? I thought, when I go into the spare room in our house to pray, to be away from other people, I would just put it on the wall there to remind me that God says, welcome. And that thought just blessed me such a lot that when I come to pray, and I've taken the blue tack because I made a bigger one up there, that when I come to pray, God says to me, welcome. That every time I come to pray, he says to me, welcome. You're welcome. And sometimes I come to pray and I moan, really, about this and that and the other. And he still says, welcome. When this boy, this prodigal son, when he came back, he'd been really rude and disagreeable, hadn't he? Really quite nasty to his dad. Can I have the money I'm going to have when you're dead? Can I have it now? And can I go off and leave you and do what I want? That was what the son had said to him. But when he came back, The father didn't say, "Told you so." He was waiting, looking out to see him, and he ran towards him and he put his arms around him and he embraced him. And I've been told that was an absolute shocking thing for a Jewish father to do. They don't supposed to run it and all that. It was to his Jesus hearers at that time, that would have been a shocking thing for the father to have done. That was not the way a father was supposed to behave. And, you know, I thought about it and I thought, you know, God welcomes us just, you know, whenever we turn to him, even when I'm not sort of setting aside a time to pray, but I'm just sending up arrow prayers or whatever, or as I'm walking along, he's so ready to be available to us. In the Old Testament, when people wanted to meet with God, do you remember all the elaborate ritual that was set up? All the sacrifices that had to be done and all the special washing and the special clothes that had to be put on. And once a year, one priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And I was reading, you know, about Zechariah, because he was that one priest, wasn't he, just before Christmas. And it said that was something they did once in their lifetime, that they went in to the Holy of Holies to meet God on behalf of the people. And yet the shocking thing really that happened at the crucifixion, that curtain that was separating the Holy of Holies, yes, Jack, was torn asunder. And the way to God was made available without all those sacrifices. It was just made open for us. It's just amazing, isn't it? That God should be like that to us. He welcomes us every time we turn to him in prayer. And I thought, sometimes he must feel so frustrated at us. Because, you know, sometimes I pray and it's the same old things. And he must think, "Oh, Katie, for goodness sake, get out of that rut. Can't you see there's a bigger picture?" And I'm still going on. But he doesn't, does he? He's so gentle with us. At times he must think, when we're way off track and we think we're on track, and he must say, "Oh, if only you could see the blessings that I want to pour out on you. But you're not there. You'd make a mess of it now. You're not old enough." He must get so frustrated with us. Because when you think of how frustrated you can get with children when they don't see and you want to bash their head against the wall, "Can't you see that?" And sometimes God must feel like that with us. He must say, "But I want so much more for you. I want you to be a blessing so much more. But you're not listening to me. You're moaning on about everybody else. Listen to me, for goodness sake. Is our prayer too much? Chat, chat, chat to God. I'm terrible at that. Chat, chat, chatting to God. And I think sometimes we say, for goodness sake, shut up a minute. Let me get in. Be quiet before me." And often I miss it. But still, he's there. the next time, and he's saying, welcome. Welcome, Katie. I love you. You might think everything's going wrong. In fact, last night I was in the bath and I was praying. We've got an Ichthus Leaders Conference coming up, and it said if you want someone to pray with you, you know, let them know. So I thought, yeah, I want someone to pray with me and help me. This leaders business is difficult. I want some help. And in my mind, I was going over a conversation I might have with whoever. Do you ever do this? A conversation I might have with this person who I don't know who it's going to be, saying, well, what's the problem? And I just felt God say, sort of through this other person who I don't know it was, that's how complicated it is, what does God say to you, Katie, when you spilled all this out? And I thought, yeah, he says, I love you. It sort of brought me right back. God says, I love you. And, you know, that's what he says to us. So often we think we know it. We think that we know that he loves us. But we don't behave as though he really, really loves us. And it was a wake-up call to me saying, yeah, all that business, but God's trying to say something to you, Katie. He doesn't want you to be saying all these things that you think are wrong or whatever. He's just trying to get through to you, to tell you that he loves you and that he will sort these things out. It was interesting, Ian said at the prayer meeting that he listened to a sermon this morning. And it was saying, you know, in the new year, everybody sort of says, I want to change. I want to be different. And he said, the preacher said he wanted all the congregation to say, you can't change. I can't change. But the point was, God's got to do it. We've got to be available to God. Anyway, I was so thrilled with this little welcome that I made a bigger one, which I put over there. It needs to come down further, actually, because I was so blessed at thinking about God welcoming me that I actually wanted to make a bigger one to share with everyone, and that we could put it just in the line of eyesight as people come in so that they can see that they're welcome. The only problem with that is that this one, I know what it means to me because God spoke to me saying, you can use that to remind you that you're welcome. But when people see that, what do they think? They think it's the people here that are saying welcome to them, don't they? Yeah? They do. So, it's not God that's welcoming people. It's got to be us, hasn't it? Yeah? Do you see what I'm saying? This one, for me, it's reminding me that God welcomes me. But this one is sort of saying, I need to be welcoming people. And I'm not very good at that. You may have noticed that. I'm not very good at that because we sometimes have notices. Not notices that we display, but notices inside, and sometimes they say things like this. Restricted access. So instead of saying welcome, it says restricted access. Access. No entry to main house. Access only to public areas. In other words, I might superficially welcome somebody, but maybe I'm not letting you get in to see the real me. Sometimes we have that label, don't we? You're welcome to the public part, but don't ask to come right in. Only available 10 to 12 on a Sunday. But sometimes we have a special Christian welcome for people at church. And that's where it might stop sometimes. Permit holders only. In other words, sometimes friends are welcome and family and who I want to share with, but I'm the one giving out permits. Sometimes we are the ones giving out permits. And it's only some people that we welcome. Oh dear. Enter with caution. Explosive storage area. And this can happen on a Sunday sometimes. You wouldn't explode with a visitor, but they might overhear a crossword to somebody else and they think, oh, hang on a minute. We've got to be cautious because explosives are stored here. Or, on the other hand, fragile people. They can hear us saying perhaps to somebody else all our woes or our troubles. And the message that is going out to others is, I'm a fragile person. Don't get too close. Or it may just be a do not disturb. I'm quite happy. Don't disturb me. All those messages that we can send out when we should be sending out. Welcome. Come in. So I thought, yeah, that's... if we put a welcome sign up there, we need to be welcoming. Just before the new year, I watched a programme so I'd still be awake for the new year. And it was that one, some of you may have seen it, about the best adverts of the decade. And it was quite amusing. Did anybody else see it? No, you did. And there was the one about the Skoda car that was all made out of cake. It was quite amazing. And then the ones that really struck me, the one where this whole sort of block of flats and a row of houses in Glasgow were splashed with paint. Right. Amazing. And the other one that really struck me, when all those coloured bulls were dropped on a road in San Francisco and they all came bouncing down. It was just amazing creativity. And I thought, Father, if we wanted to have an advert to advertise you, and we'd got, you know, a limitless budget like they seem to have, or what would we do? And I was pondering this, and then I thought, Vicky, that's what Christmas is about. Didn't God say, how can I let people know what I'm really like? I'll come and be born as a man, and I'll show them what I'm like. And people's ideas of what God was like when they saw Jesus, it didn't match up, did it, sometimes? But Jesus is what God is really like. If we want to know what God's really like, whether he's a great big policeman or a judge, we look at Jesus. And he was loving, wasn't he? But then I thought, that's what Jesus did to show people at that time what God's really like. But nowadays, unfortunately, he says, I want people to know what I'm really like, and you lot have got to show them. We've got to show people what God's like. It's high calling, isn't it? So we need to show the welcome that God shows to other people. And I thought, how can we do it? And we can't do it of ourselves, can we? It was really costly for Jesus to come to the earth to show us what God was like. It cost him his life. And it can be really costly for us to show what God is really like. Costly in terms of being open to others. But Jesus said, before he died, he said, it was for the joy set before me. It was worth it. It was worth it, he said. And to us, he's saying, it's worth it. It is worth it, you know, to welcome other people. The joy that you will receive when people come to know me. Well, you've known that, haven't you, Stacey? It's a joy beyond anything else, isn't it? To know that someone else has come to know Jesus. And it's that God wants to bring. That he wants us to do that. He wants us to welcome other people. Yeah, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go along.
Not necessarily know them. Don't speak, but just smile. And if they smile back, then try to speak. How are you? How are you feeling today?
It's an attitude,
it makes,
isn't it?
All the difference. It makes all the difference. I know. I've been there. I've been gone.
It's what God wants us to do, and he needs to do it in us, doesn't he? It's not something, as that chap was saying that Ian heard, that we can do. We need to come to Jesus. And I asked if we could sing the song that we usually sing on the Wednesday prayer meeting, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Because it's as we welcome God's Spirit in us that we'll be able to welcome others. I think it's such a powerful song. Have we got the words? We haven't got Margaret. Does. And if anybody wants to go to the prayer area for anything, please do. The prayer areas for anything needs nothing to do with what we've been saying. If you want prayer for anything, please do go.